Hello and welcome to Your Best Self, a podcast about careers. I'm your host, Faye Rowlands, lawyer and journalist, and together in this podcast, we'll hear from inspirational people spanning the worlds of business, politics, law, media, science, art, and more, sharing what they love most about their jobs, how they handle setbacks, and offer listeners their tips to career success. I hope this podcast informs and inspires you to think big and encourages you to go after the dream job you want. On this week's episode, I speak with Kate Verling. Kate is managing director at the award-winning Ming Candon Foot Spa. Her family established the business, opening its flagship salon in Donnybrook in 2006, and Kate joined the business just 2 years later after completing her business degree at DIT. Since then, the nail salon has expanded to two new locations, a new state-of-the-art premises in Bulls Bridge and a pop-up salon in Monkstown, employing 60 people. Mink regularly features at Image Magazine's annual Business of Beauty Awards, taking home the award for Best Nail Salon in 2017. And indeed, Kate herself was shortlisted for Image Magazine's Young Businesswoman of the Year in 2018. In this episode, she tells me about the women who've inspired her in business, why empathy will always be a feature of her management style, and her exciting plans to expand Mink as a life and beauty brand. I hope you enjoy. Kate Verling, welcome to the podcast and thank you for speaking with me this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be asked to come on.
So I think you've built a really recognisable brand under the Mink Hand and Foot Spa. Certainly people in Dublin will all be familiar, I think, with the brand that you've built. When you opened your doors first at Mink back in 2006, it was the height of the Celtic Tiger. In many respects, I suppose Mink was the first of its kind in the sense that it was offering these specialist luxury hand and foot treatments. At that time in Ireland, I suppose there wasn't too many things out there like that at that time. I'd be really curious to hear, where did the inspiration behind Mink come from?
It was all my parents, Faye. We were traveling quite a bit at the time. We had family in the US and my mum, Orla, was working with Aer Lingus actually for a long time. So she was very, I suppose, au fait with what the trends were over there. She was seeing this huge demand and capitalization of specializing in this beauty section of the business. And I suppose a lot of salons in Ireland at that time, and it goes with a lot of things, we hadn't probably caught up yet to really honing in on one section. It was the traditional kind of salon where you would walk in and you would get your waxing done and your eyebrows tinted and a manicure or a pedicure and you'd go home. The pedicures were usually conducted on a therapist's bed, so your feet would be kind of dangling off into a basin on the ground. I mean, it wasn't very comfortable and it certainly wasn't something you probably would look forward to doing. It wasn't a treat, it was more maintenance. So we just kind of kept discussing it around our kitchen table, really. You know, I really think this would work. And so they just scoured for a site and they found one, and they really took a risk in taking a lease on a little light shop in Donnybrook with no background really in the industry. And it kind of just grew really organically from there. We started with three staff in 2006 with just an idea to offer something really specialist and five star. And then from there, it grew into what we have today. So I'd like to say that there was a big strategy plan and, you know, a very, you know, robust business plan and lots of market research. But the reality was it was just pure entrepreneurialism. And they really believed that they could offer the customer service that maybe was missing in that sector. And they just worked really hard and got it to where it is today. So it's a lovely story and it's purely built by word of mouth. And that's something we're very proud of.
Wow. So that's amazing to hear that the inspiration behind that really was the travels, that there was no history of beauty business there. But that was something that I guess you, as a family business, had to learn the ropes in very quickly.
Very quickly. Kind of, you know, we opened the door maybe a little bit naively, but we learnt on our feet. And again, we just kept using the client care as the heartbeat of what we were trying to do, and we would learn the rest. So we hired the talent, very much so. We hired extraordinary therapists, one of which is still with us today, which is incredible. So we just very much decided to outsource, hire the talent, and we would look after the rest. So we just looked after the business like we would have any business, and we applied that kind of heart into it, and it just worked. It just was authentic from the get-go. And we were just lucky that it took off, and it was the right place at the right time as well. There was a little bit of luck sprinkled in there as well. You know, we just got in at the right time, and it kind of took off from there.
And was that entrepreneurial streak that you mentioned earlier, was that something that was always there with you from a young age, or was that something that developed later on?
I think it's all I really knew. My dad is an entrepreneur, and he took over his family business, which would have been in the wine industry. It was a kind of a high-end off-license in Clontarf in Dublin that did exceptionally well. And he sold it to a UK company called Oddbins at the time, in 1998. So we always had, that was our kind of Sunday dinner. It was, you know, working really hard. We rarely saw him, to be honest, as young kids. And my sister came along, and then it just was the right time for him to get out. So we always, that was just a part of our family. I suppose fabric a little bit, just working for our, you know, where he always worked for himself. So I think that rubbed off on me from a very young age. I was always trying to start little businesses in primary school. I started a business in fourth year in secondary school. I was always just kind of working. I was, you know, I never really wasn't. So I've been working since I was 15. That's all I know. So yeah, it wasn't a huge shock, I suppose, to kind of fall into this when I left college. It was a natural progression, so to speak.
And so Mink is very much a family business. What is that like, I suppose, for you, working very closely with such family members? One minute you're making business decisions at the business table, the next minute you're eating dinner together over the dinner table. What is that like?
We're still learning, you know, and I suppose I'm evolving as well. I've just had a baby, so I'm now kind of moving into my own family, which is a change, you know. So there's lots of change all of a sudden, and I suppose COVID has been a strange, you know, pinnacle in the middle. And look, there's we're learning all the time, you know, but we're close and we're strong, and we row together. And I think that's the most important thing, even when there's setbacks and things like that. And there has been plenty over the years. You know, it's 14 years in operation, and I've been there for 12. So it's been a long time. But I think primarily the family has to come first, you know, first and foremost, and everything else will follow suit. But it's hard when you're having your Sunday dinner, not, you know, you kind of have to stop. So sometimes we have a no Mink Sunday where we try so hard not to talk about it, and then somebody will creep in and you're nearly putting your money in the swear box. You're saying, oh, you broke the code. So we do try hard to separate it, but I don't think anyone gets that perfect balance when it is so close to home, because it's nearly a part of you. It's very hard to separate them, but we're still trying. We're still working on it.
And you had studied business yourself at university, hadn't you? Had you always sort of had aspirations really to sort of run your own business, you know, go into that sector?
So I did my thesis on female entrepreneurship. I think I was just, you know, very, very interested in women in business, actually, without sounding cliched, but I really just am so passionate about women getting a little bit of a head start, because I do feel there is disparity there. And, you know, even when you're attending finance meetings, it's usually all men and then yourself in the middle. So you kind of feel you have to work a little bit harder in those settings. And I luckily got into a program called Going for Growth, which is sponsored by Enterprise Ireland and KPMG. And they kind of took me under their wing, as they did with all the candidates in the cycle at the time. And it just was amazing to be surrounded by all these women. So I kind of nearly blossomed again in that instance and found my feet again. So I'm always evolving, and as you should be. I think when you work for yourself, you have to challenge yourself, because you can't get complacent where you are. And I'm a bit of a devil. I'm always pushing the boundaries. I'm always pushing for better, or for, you know, more excellence in what we do. And I'm sure I drive everybody crazy around me, but I would be a perfectionist trying to achieve that in work. So yeah, it's kind of in me I don't think now I could do anything different but work for myself, be it Mink or not. You know, it's just nearly part of my DNA, I think, at this stage.
And I suppose also a lot of working women would form part of the clientele of Mink. It's part of the whole experience as well, you know?
And I think being working in the store for as long as I did, and I work a little bit more from home now, obviously, just with my my baby Alice. So I'm not in there as much, particularly with COVID. I probably had grand signs. I'd be bringing her in my sling. But now it's just not the environment that I have to maybe learn to step away from the physicality of the store a little bit and take my hands off the driving wheel and let them run it, which they do beautifully. But it's interesting kind of trying to gauge that sense of, I suppose, letting go a little bit and learning to maybe let the team grow into the space. But the connectivity that I've learned from the women that have come in is just incredible. And I've made firm friends, both in a professional and a personal capacity, just from being clients and talking to them at the desk every week and being that kind of part of the store. It's actually made a huge difference. And they're so supportive of us all as a family business in the industry. They really are amazing. We're very lucky with our clients. They're so regular, so we know them well, you know.
And you mentioned your daughter Alice there. Firstly, congratulations on the birth of your daughter Alice earlier this year in April, wasn't it? She was born smack bang in the center of the COVID pandemic. Everything was closed down. I mean, what was that experience like for you, giving birth in the middle of this pandemic?
It was very, very strange. And I kind of thought in my head, God, I might take 6 weeks off. You know, how could I swing that? And I was preparing to maybe take as long as I possibly could off. And then we were just closed. So all of a sudden I got kind of a lovely 3 weeks to settle down before she came, which was very unusual. And knowing me, I wouldn't have done that. I probably would have worked to the day. I was still sending emails in the lift in Holles Street trying to go up to be induced. So I think I was quite naive, as to what was ahead of me. But like, I mean, the whole experience was probably a once off. It wasn't easy for sure. And my heart does go out for our little community of COVID mums, particularly if it's your first, because it's just such a culture shock. And the help that you probably have in your mind to expect to get was just gone. So it was literally myself, my husband and Alice, and it was difficult, you know. It wasn't easy, but you know, and now looking back, we had so much time together. I probably wouldn't change it now that we've come out the other side, but at the time it was just crazy. Like, we didn't have any, I suppose, all the traditional visits you expect, like your public health nurse coming in or checking to see, am I doing this right? They couldn't do any of that. So you were using your gut and trusting your instincts a lot, which now I feel has paid off completely. And we're a tight little trio now. So yeah, it's all for luck, but it was a crazy time.
And then, has your perspective changed or shifted at all since you've become a mom, your attitudes to life and work? Has there been any shift there?
Completely, actually. And as I said, I was like sending emails, you know, as I was going up in the lift in labor, you know, and my husband was kind of like, please put away your phone. So I think, you know, Mink nearly was my first baby in that sense. I put so much of myself into it and the team. That it's really changed my perspective on maybe me achieving more of a work-life balance, which I know everybody is striving to achieve at the moment, and you never will. But I think it's about learning to separate time now and really focus on Alice when I'm with her and not trying to be both to everybody, because something's going to, you know, to suffer. So it's a learning curve for sure, but completely I think I've realized that there's maybe more to life than work, which is a good thing. And I think it'll be good for everybody, you know, just to kind of reevaluate time. But it's just time. You have to just make it, because no one's going to give it to you. So I think that's going to be my learning for sure from this year.
Absolutely. And as we record this now, we're approaching towards the end of lockdown 2.0. So what is it like then for you, I suppose, juggling this life as a young new mum and then also, you know, being managing director of this business at a very difficult time for business?
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, I suppose I'm still trying to feel my way through it. I try when I am working to really focus on that and give my team my attention and give them the guidance that they need. But also as well, they have really blossomed into taking ownership a little bit more, which is wonderful because it just means that if everyone is collectively working towards the same thing, they may not need me as much anymore, which is it's a good thing. So it's teaching everybody, I think, to maybe reestablish going forward what it's going to look like, because it is going to be different now that, you know, I have a family and I'm not maybe there 24/7 all the time. But I think that's going to be my focus, that when I'm with Alice, I'm focused. And then when I'm in work, I'm focused, and I'm not trying to be everything to everybody. But I think as a woman, you're probably going to be doing that all, you know, I think that's something that we all have to learn for ourselves. But it's something I'm still trying to feel my way through. But it's exciting. I mean, we're still growing, and I think that's important. Yes, it's been tough, and we've had to make some very, very difficult decisions, difficult financial decisions, to protect the business, to ensure that we sustain more closures. You know, we have no visibility on if this is going to be lockdown 3.0, 4.0. So it has not been an easy time. But I think putting the company first has been the priority, and protecting Mink, making sure that we sustain, you know, a sense of stability for the team. I don't want them feeling like, God, will I have a job next month? I think, you know, that type of uncertainty does nobody any good. So we have been working hard to keep a stability and a sense of that for everybody. And then hopefully, if things settle, 2021 should be a year of growth for us and for the sector.
2020 certainly has been a very challenging year, I think, particularly for the SME sector. What has Mink been doing, I suppose, to adapt during this time?
Well, we've had to really pivot. We've had to really think about our business and what we're offering to our clients, and how can we better it in a time that it's become more clinical. We're very client first. I suppose our customer service journey is the heartbeat of what we do. So we've had to really pull back on that service journey to protect our client. And it's the tiny things that we've felt that we've taken away from that we, you know, so we're trying to warm up again our client care to the way it was before, but safely. We were due to open our third branch in spring of 2020, which obviously did not materialize. So that has been a challenge. So we're trying to think on our feet with that. So we've actually created a temporary shop, if that's the right way to say it. And it's in Monkstown Village, which we're really excited about, hopefully getting to grips with next year and really reaffirming ourselves in that community, because a lot of our clients actually come from there. So we're really looking forward to getting into that community and settling in there. But for now, we've opened a click and collect store for all vouchers, and our new retail line that launched on our website over lockdown 2.0. So that kept us very busy. So we're kind of bringing ourselves into the online world a little bit more. Our retail line has been in the coming for about 2.5 years, that finally landed. So there are I suppose new avenues for Mink to go down, and the rebrand in January will lend itself to that, to maybe allow us pivot a little bit more as we feel our way through the way things are going to change.
Wow. Well, that is really interesting to hear, because I think part of what this podcast is about is really seeing how people overcome adversity in various different lines of work, and that by adapting and doing that, that they learn to succeed better. And I definitely think COVID appears to have been an example of a time where it's really forced businesses to innovate and change just in order to survive.
Absolutely. And it's amazing when you're in survival mode, how creative you will get with the resources that you have. And I think, I mean, some of the businesses that, you know, I follow online, and the sheer innovation that's come out of this time has blown me away, to be honest, you know. And the quality of our online offering, I think, has just vastly improved. And this whole shop local, shop Irish, it doesn't feel such a push anymore, because it's a natural grow to maybe go and shop Irish, because the offering is so strong. And I think we need to be kind of, I suppose, quite proud of what the SME sector have actually achieved, because it's the lack of visibility for me anyway. That's what I found the most challenging, because usually you have the visibility to make the right call for the company, whereas now you're literally feeling in the dark, because you don't know. We could be open now for 4 weeks and we could be closed again on New Year's Day. We have absolutely no idea. So that's certainly a challenge to the sector.
And then you mentioned there, you know, just looking and seeing what other businesses in the SME sector are doing online. Who would you say has inspired you in your own career path?
There's been so many. I've actually been, from an Irish perspective, I've been surrounded by really, really incredible businesswomen. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, particularly with that initiative I was talking about, the Going for Growth. I mean, I'm still connected to and I'm learning from the women, not only in my immediate group, but in the whole community. And particularly women that I'm meeting now that might be starting a business. It's the first thing I tell them to do. Join Going for Growth. You'll be, you know, catapulted into this whole community of support. There's women like Una O'Hagan, who's the founder of Mars Pharmacy. She is just such an innovator. She's a lady, so supportive. She's just incredible. Caroline Keeling from Keeling Fruit was my mentor at the beginning of the journey, and she was just beyond. She went over and above and beyond for me to help me really reevaluate the business and really understand how to strategize. And she came from a family business as well. So she was just really supportive. So there's been so many women. And then you look kind of further afield at the Jo Malone, you know, caliber of people that you just can't help but look up to. And just to see all the setbacks that they went through, but they came out thriving. And I think that's really inspirational. When you're currently experiencing a setback, you think, well, God, if she can do it, so can I. Or if she can pivot this way, so can I. And it's really important to have those role models and follow people that you're genuinely interested in their journey, because it gives you something to aspire to, you know, and keep going.
And what would you say is the best advice or the best business advice that you've received?
I think to trust your instinct, which I know is kind of a basic one for life, but it's something that any time that I've gone against it, it hasn't served me. And using your instinct when you're making bigger decisions helps, certainly, because there's a lot of responsibility on your shoulders and you're employing, you know, over 60 people. So you have to make sure that the decisions you make is right for everybody and maybe not just you. So you come second as opposed to, you know, the company. If the company comes first, everybody benefits. And I remember Caroline, you know, teaching me that revenue is really just vanity, and it's just a really nice number to say, but actually the profit is your reality. And that just really struck a chord with me at the time. And I thought, okay, so since then I've just been a profit first person. And before, I probably would have been so focused on the top line and then, oh yes, but then we made this, but look at what we achieved, you know. And I think it completely changed my thinking. It has to be profit first, because then it means you're actually doing a good job on what happens in between taking the money at the till and how it's spent. So that little nugget has always stayed with me. It's written in my phone, so it kind of keeps me focused on the bottom line, because I can tend to be, you know, go off on these creative streaks and, oh my goodness, can we do this and this? And then that definitely keeps me grounded, you know, is this actually viable? So that was a good one.
And then I suppose we've already covered some of the more difficult aspects of being in business for yourself. I mean, particularly this year, as we noted. But what are some of the elements that you enjoy about running your own business?
There's so many. And I think a lot of it comes down to the team, actually, and really surrounding yourself with supportive, equally as passionate professional women, because there's very few men in our industry by nature. So, you know, that's very fulfilling, actually, to bring people with you on the journey. It's not a solo mission. You'll never get there if you try to do it on your own. And for me, I do find that very fulfilling, and seeing the reward from, you know, the 11 p.m. texts and emails that are flying around, but actually getting there with them makes it really worthwhile. And we have a wonderful team of very talented women in Mink. And it's just a lovely environment. It's actually a really lovely, inspiring place to be. And look, don't get me wrong, there are days where I just want to hide and turn off my phone. And, you know, that's just more, then I know, okay, my balance is gone again. I need more time for me. So I cultivate that little pocket again. And then I go back in, all guns blazing. But it's the team for sure that would inspire me the most, I think.
And I suppose one other part, and you alluded to it there as well, that when you're running your own business, it sort of becomes your baby in a way. You're very invested in it. But it's also hard to then sort of separate out your work life and your home life. They all sort of blend into one another. I suppose that is something that people running their own business will relate to.
Completely. And I'd love to meet someone who has done it where they can just switch off their phone. I was really thinking, do I get a second number? I'll actually move my phone, because it's just, you know, everything funnels through the one. So it's very, very hard. My husband has his own business as well. So we're nearly too similar in that respect. And we have to catch each other and say, no, look, let's make our dinner. Let's not, you know, answer these emails now. So we have to sense check each other, because we are equally as bad as overworking. But it's, again, I think it's just something that evolves as you evolve. I think as you move through life, you learn all the little lessons and you collect maybe more tools to figure out how to maybe navigate a little bit better, because at the end of the day, it's all energy, and if you are not full, the business is going to wobble. And I think that's something I've learned the hard way so many times, that I need to practice self-care and practice being still and practice, you know, because it actually gives me more clarity to the business. The more I step back, the more I see clearer and what needs to be done. Whereas if you're in it all the time, it's not good for everybody, because you have to lead by example. So if you're running around like a headless chicken, you know, and people are looking at you all frazzled, it's not going to give them maybe the empowerment that they need to make decisions. So that's something that I've learned the hard way, that it's just so important to keep yourself aligned and balanced in the middle of it all.
And what qualities do you think you need to be successful in business, or a successful leader in business?
You just have to have a genuine empathy for people, because people aren't robots. They're not, you know, coming into work, you know, absolutely at 100% every day. And people have their off days and people make mistakes. But I think it's allowing people to make mistakes is so important, and knowing, and for them to know that they can, you know, without a draconian, you know, outcome if they do, because you have to trust them to do what they feel is best at the time. And I think once your staff have that feeling, it's going to empower them. So it's really my job to give them the tools to learn how to make decisions. It's not my job to make all the decisions, because we won't really move very far if I do. And I think that's something, you know, you need to have empathy, but you also need to have a good sense of self. You know, you need to have strong roots, understand what your vision is and be crystal clear about it. Because if you wobble again in that sense, in terms of your decision making, it's going to create a sense of imbalance to them. Oh, I thought we were doing it this way and now she's changed direction. You know, I'm very clear in the standard I expect, but not in a harsh way, but just I'm quite soft in the approach, but they know the standard that we're here to provide to our clients, and that's not grey, that's black and white, and everything else, you know, can be done around that. So empathy, I think, is a big one. You know, learning how to manage a team is so important, and being clear, for sure.
You mentioned earlier, you know, that you'd had some really exciting plans for Mink this year, that, you know, you were refurbishing your flagship stores, that you're, you know, moving into Monkstown. I know now you've opened a pop-up store and you've adapted well to adjust to the COVID pandemic and the restrictions in place. But looking on to the future and to 2021 and a post-COVID-19 world, what would your hope be for the future of Mink?
Just to really bed down our brand positioning, really, really continue to wow our clients, continue to surprise and delight them. That's what we're here to do. That's what pushes us every day, is having those and a massive 5-star beautiful glowing reviews. You know, the girls just are so thrilled with that. We really take pride in the feedback that we receive. I would love to expand Mink overseas. I think Mink could really flex its muscles in other spaces and other places. I don't feel, you know, we are just affixed to Dublin and that's it. I think the brand is, there's a lot of authenticity in what we do, and I think it would translate into other places. And creating a lifestyle and beauty brand is the first step in that journey. And I think that that's a journey I would really love to explore for sure, and really see where the brand could go from there. There's travel, there's a huge opportunity for us, and I think we just have to be open-minded as to where that might bring us.
Wow, we'll be watching with interest. And just, I suppose, one final question for you, Kate. Looking back now, so I think you said you spent 12 years, is it, in the business in Mink? You know, all you've learned in that time, where you are now versus where you were starting out, if you had to advise your younger self now, you know, what advice would you give to that younger person starting out in the business?
I think, again, just learning to trust my gut a little bit more, try not to please people. You know, I was trying to kind of make everybody happy around me, and it's not possible to make 50 people simultaneously happy while doing the best for the business at the same time. So I think it would probably be to say, go a bit easier on yourself, work less, and you don't have to exhaust yourself for everybody to feel like you're doing a good job. And I think I would definitely be a little bit softer with myself. I probably put too much pressure on myself at the start to try and be everything to everybody. And it doesn't always work out that way. So to really learn to step back, trust my gut, and make my decisions. Because if, again, and it's a company first thing, if you do put the company first in your decision-making journey, it just... It makes the level playing field that little bit easier, I think. So it would be for sure to just focus on putting the company first and trusting my gut. And I think if you have those two things down pat, everything else will kind of settle around that. But yeah, go a bit kinder, maybe on myself, not work so hard. But look, it's all learning, and I chalk everything up to experience, all the setbacks and all the wins. They're all weaved into the story. So you can't have one without the other. But it's about learning to maybe celebrate the little wins when they happen, instead of saying, oh yeah, that's great, yeah, we got that, and then like diving straight back in again. So maybe learning to celebrate the wins would be another one as well.
Gosh, that is really great advice. Kate Verling, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you on the podcast today.
Thank you.
And the very best of luck for the future of Mink. And I hope 2021 is a really great year.
Thank you so very much for having me. Thank you again.
Thanks for listening to Your Best Self. If you enjoyed this podcast, please hit the subscribe button or leave me a review.